Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 844-322-2742, in the U.S. and in Canada, toll-free, 844-322-2742. Lots to talk about, so let's go right straight to Bob Christopher.
Well, there is a lot to talk about, and one of the things that's on my mind and heart and praying about are certainly the people on the Florida Gulf Coast and in the pathway of Hurricane Michael. And why it's of such interest to me is just 2 weeks ago, I was in Port St. Joe, Florida.
Yeah.
And for a retreat, I was a pastor for a group of families there that were suffering through pediatric cancer. All of these 10 families had one of their children with some form of cancer, leukemia, a neuroblastoma, something that they were dealing with. And this is just a beautiful, idyllic setting for families to come and to get away from kind of the cancer routine and to be refreshed, to have relationships rekindled, and to have souls restored, and some of those deep, nagging questions answered in light of the love and grace of Jesus Christ. So we were there, had a marvelous time, me and Gina, our youngest daughter, Mackenzie, and the cutest grandson that's ever been, our grandson, Kai. We were all down there and just had a great time. And then there was going to be another group of families there this week. And those families arrived Sunday, as they were scheduled to do. And then Monday, they all had to pack up and go back home just to evacuate and be safe. And I've looked at some footage of the damage in Port St. Joe and Mexico Beach. Just unbelievably devastating. Some of the worst I've ever seen. I mean, it was a hurricane, a Category 4. I heard one reporter say it was the most horrific storm that has hit that area in 150 years. And so my heart goes out to the people and that were in the wake of that.
Yes.
And, the restoration that's going to have to take place. And, you know, when something like that happens, we have the physical damage, you know, we have to replace homes, we have to replace all of these material items. But there's something that happens deep within the hearts of people. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of questioning. There's just a lot of emotional turmoil with that as well. And so I certainly pray that that God is, I know God is there. I don't have to pray that. I know he's there. I just hope and pray that these people can receive his comfort and can have his peace as a guard for their hearts and minds as they go through this difficult time in their lives.
Yeah.
And it brings us to the passage for the day, and that is a passage out of the book of Colossians, a powerful passage about Jesus, just who Jesus is. And boy, he is the centerpiece of human history, and everything rises and falls upon him. And we just have to realize that in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of these adverse circumstances in life, there's Jesus. There's somebody who cares for us. There's somebody who loves us. There's somebody that has the power to hold us together when things seem to be flying apart at the seams. And here's the passage. It's Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. God is spirit. We can't see God. He is invisible to our human eyes. And the only way that we can see what he is like is really through Jesus Christ. We can see some of his attributes in nature. The Bible tells us about that. We can see just looking around that God exists, that he's there. But what he's like, we're really not going to know that until we see who God is in the face of Jesus Christ. So he is the image of the invisible God, the exact replica in visible form. He is the firstborn of all creation. He holds preeminence in creation, over creation, everything. And for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. So he existed before creation came into being. So he is eternal. We see this about Jesus. It says, so he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So if you feel like life is just falling apart at the seams, is just flying everywhere, take a breath, breathe, and rest assured that God, that Jesus Christ himself is going to hold you together in the midst of whatever circumstance you're going through. He is the body, the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So all of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ, and through him, through this Jesus Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Why do things fall apart? Well, because sin entered the world, and this rest that we once had in Jesus became restlessness, and we're broken at the most critical places until we come to Jesus, and he puts us back together. He mends these broken hearts of ours, and he reconnects us to God the Father so that we can truly live as God intended from the very beginning. So Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the answer as to whatever circumstance that you're going through. He's going to hold you together. And if you're having other issues, he is the one who's reconciled you. He's the one that can lift that burden of guilt and shame and fear. Jesus is God's gift to mankind. Mm-hmm. And if you want a life that is put together, that is fulfilling and rewarding, it's going to come from Jesus and Jesus alone.
That's the good news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, everybody. If you're experiencing something in life and would like to talk about it, right now, if it's the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast and you can speak directly with us. Otherwise, go ahead and call that number anytime and record your particular question or situation. We'll be glad to address it here at Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number to call. Friends, we deeply appreciate the love and support of all of you Basic Gospel listeners who give generously to support this ministry and keep the good news of God's love, grace, and life on the air and online, and so that others might be able to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And to say thank you when you make your gift in October, we have this excellent resource for you. It's called The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. You can request your copy when you make your October gift to support Basic Gospel, and you'll find all the ways to make that happen, all the ways to donate when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. And, of course, in Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, again, that toll-free line in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines now and talk with Mary Jo, listening to us in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Mary Jo. What's on your mind today?
Well, I might have trouble getting my thoughts clear. I was having trouble with Michelle, but this girl took quotes out of the Bible and made a nice little booklet out of it. I don't have the booklet anymore, and it was done in pictures. And I remember the picture of, and I think it started, "We have this promise with broken pieces of pottery." Have you ever heard of that Bible verse?
I'm not sure. I mean, we are likened to pottery. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the clay. God forms us. So we see a lot of references as far as that is concerned in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We see, you know, that these vessels in which we live, that they're treasures in jars of clay.
Yeah.
So we might be broken, you know, these physical jars of ours. We're getting older. We're decaying. This body is subject, but we may be going that direction as far as our bodies are concerned, but we're being renewed in our spirit, strengthened in our spirit. Why? Because that's God's promise to us. So as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, I think that's the Bible verse she used. Yes, and what is that second one?
2 Corinthians 4:7.
2 Corinthians 4:7. Mm. Well, thank you so much.
Well, you are welcome, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed.
We appreciate it.
Mary Jo called that number, 844-322-2742. Again, first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Hour, you're hearing the live broadcast. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, kind of a shocking question from Andrew, who wrote to us. He says, my question is about keeping the Ten Commandments. Do we really need Christ anymore if there is no more law?
Well, the answer is yes, we need Christ.
Yes. Screamingly, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's... And that was really the purpose of the law from a spiritual standpoint, was to show us how much we do need Christ. So when, you know, here and here's the mistake that his question really points to, is we think if we're no longer under the Ten Commandments, then we're just lawless creatures. And if we're lawless creatures, then sin will abound. And just the whole world will go amok, and we ourselves will just be lost in sinful activities. That's just going to be what's going to happen to us. Well, that's not the truth. That's not what the Bible talks about. It says there was an old covenant. That old covenant was for the people of Israel, but that old covenant pointed us to a spiritual truth. The wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. So we find out through that law that all of us are condemned. All of us stand ready to be judged in a very harsh, cruel way. The wages of sin is death. But God brought, he sent to us Jesus. And with Jesus, he ushered in a new covenant. Now, this new covenant is for all people. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord enters into this new covenant. Well, in this new covenant, we have a new set of laws. They're not like the Ten Commandments. They're the laws of faith, hope, and love that are sourced, that are brought about in our lives through the indwelling Spirit. It's His work. So as we learn to walk by faith or independence upon Jesus Christ, we're going to see love manifested in our day-to-day lives, in our relationships one to another. So we're not lawless. We're just released from that law of sin and death so that we could walk by the higher law of faith, hope, and love. Now, that's what the Christian life is all about. So we have to set aside the old. Why? Because the purpose has already been fulfilled or met in us. Mm-hmm. It identified our need. And now we turn to Christ for salvation. And once we're saved, Christ comes to live inside of us. And so we entrust ourselves to him. Now, he's certainly a much higher law than the Ten Commandments. He will never lead us to sin, but he will do something the law could never do. He will lead us in love, teaching us how to love our neighbors as God in Christ has loved us. Richard?
Yeah, the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law, the Mosaic Covenant, were an external definition, a beautiful definition, but an external definition. That's all that a lost person can deal with is an external definition. In Christ, we talked about it earlier this week. We have become a new creation. Mm-hmm. The new creation is an internal thing and therefore needs an internal motivation. And as Bob just described, that's Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit. It must be an inside-out situation. It can never work as an outside-in
right,
situation.
Right, We've seen the failure of that throughout human history. But once Jesus comes to live inside, boy, things happen in ways we never dreamed or imagined.
Absolutely. But it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. And friends, it's a simple thing, but enormous in its impact in your life. And it is this. Until you rest in the finished work of Christ, you will never experience the abundance of His life in you. Resting in His work is huge. And to help Basic Gospel listeners understand this vital truth, we're offering a free copy of this excellent little booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. Your free copy awaits as you go online to basicgospel.net and request it. We'd love to get a copy into your hands. Again, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. Go to basicgospel.net and you can request it there. It's absolutely free.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk with Samuel listening to us in Rockwall, Texas. Hi, Samuel.
Hello.
What's on your mind today?
Oh, a lot, actually. I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. Talk to us.
Well, here's the deal. I'm in a situation here where I am in a relationship, and, okay, let me just go to the basic thing. Okay, for the last week or so, I've known God my entire life, basically since I was 18, and had experience with Him and seen Him, but years have gone by, and I don't know if the word is become numb or kind of, just I can't see or feel like I used to because of going back and forth to the world, back to Him, back to the world, back to Him, back to the world, to where hardness of heart, I think is the only explanation, has taken place, where I'm in a position where I'm in so much anxiety, I'm in so much mental pain because of this relationship that I'm in, and have literally just broken down, just fallen down, asking God, begging God, please, please help me do something. And nothing is happening. And I'm in this relationship and it's not healthy. It's not going good at all. It's abusive on both sides, mentally, verbally, and emotionally. And
is it a marriage relationship or is it?
We're not married.
Okay.
We've been together 10 years. We live together. I've asked her numerous times to get married. She doesn't want to get married. I've had some troubles with the law before. Recently I've been cleaning my act up. I've given up drinking. I've given up smoking and doing, you know, marijuana and stuff like that. But you know, I'm working and I'm doing my best. I'm sober and clean. There are some residual attitudes, which I do have to deal with that pop up. And immediately I explain to her, look, I'm sorry, my bad habit. I'm trying to change this and that. And she's like, I understand, boom, boom, boom. But sometimes we get into it and it's just vicious. And she says this stuff to me, to where she wants to ruin my life. She threatens to call the cops on me when I haven't done anything. She tells all her family members and friends about arguments that we've had to where, you know, they're her family. So they're like, I hate this guy. Forget this guy. I'm not invited. I'm alienated and alone. I have no family or friends except for one cousin in Colorado who loves me to death. And I talk to her and she's like, you can come stay with me if you have enough money. But the problem is our business that we have is all in her name. And when I was incarcerated, you know, she went ahead and transferred everything into her name. My vehicle is in her name. Any hopes of me getting paid from the business income is out the window because it all goes through her. And anytime I try to say anything like saying, hey, I need some money too. She's like, well, I let you live here. You eat food. And I'm like, well, that's fine and great. You let me drive your truck, which used to be my truck. I need something of my own because if I do want to leave, like when we do fight, she says, get out. I have no options.
Yeah. So that's where the anxiety is coming from. That's the source of the tension. That's the source of, she's in control. She's holding all the strings and pulling them the way she sees fit. And that's hard to deal with. And you know, as you said,
I tell my buddies about it, and they look at me like, "What kind of man are you?" And I'm like, "It's not that simple. Anybody can say I'm the man, but it depends on the woman."
Yeah. Well, Samuel, here's what I hear from you. There's this relationship issue that's causing some emotional distress. But there's something going on that's even deeper than that. You feel like you're cleaning up your act, but I sense that you feel like there's still something not quite right at the very depths of who you are, and you don't have that solid rock that you need to stand upon.
I don't understand properly.
Well, here's what I want to talk about the last couple of minutes of the broadcast with you is this, and then I want to send you some resources. But when I came to Christ as a young kid, I was probably 12 years old. I heard the story of Jesus's death on the cross, and I knew I needed Jesus, and I prayed to receive Jesus. But from that point forward, for many years, I had no earthly idea what that meant. So I tried to do the best that I possibly could. I tried to be God's guy. I tried to do the right thing. And I kept falling flat on my face. I never could live out what I thought God expected of me.
Yes, okay? Same here. I'm terrible at it.
Well, I just felt so guilty. I felt so ashamed.
Separate.
Yes. The harder I tried, the further away I felt from God. Until I learned some truth. And that truth is this, Samuel, that God never expects us to do the work of the Christian life. He simply expects us to trust the one who has done the work and will continue to do the work, and that's the person Jesus Christ. So, Samuel, not only did he come to forgive your sins, to take them away once and for all, he came to give you life. He came to take up residence inside of you, to give you that new life. So maybe you've never received that new life. Maybe you've never really received Jesus.
I studied. I went to college. I got credits. I went to numerous seminaries. I've preached. I've got years of experience in the church, and I left the church because of bad blood, whatever happened, and this was a long time ago. And now I'm sitting here, and it's like there is this block. I want to understand. I want to know that I am saved and that I'm all right, or that everything's going to be all right, or that God is going to help me to go and sin no more, because I can't stop sinning. I can't stop having these thoughts that I have and feeling guilty about the way that I am, just who I am. It's just disgusting to me. I'm so sick and tired of it.
Well, Samuel, let's turn our focus away from you just for a second. You've made the case that you need Jesus, and you can't clean up your act. You've tried, and
I keep trying.
I know that feeling. I finally threw up my hands in frustration and said, "Lord, I can't clean up my act. All I can do is sin, so I guess I'm just destined for that." But that will never fulfill. So, Samuel, what you need is simply to open up your heart and say, "Lord, I want you to come in and live inside of me." That's what salvation is all about. Now, we're about out of time on the air. I want to put you on hold, and we'll continue this conversation. Okay, my friend? You hold on.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. Tomorrow, part two of our study through the book of 1 John. We want you to be a part of it. So for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and all of us at Basic Gospel, Bob Davis, with your invitation to be right back here tomorrow for that study. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.